Good morning, dear ones. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. I'm so glad you decided to join us today. Today, I'm going to be speaking about knowing each other by the Spirit. But before I begin, let's open in prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for this day, for your unfailing love, and for the gift of gathering together in your presence. We are thankful that we live in a free country, where we can meet freely with you and together every day. In a few days, we're going to be celebrating the birthday of America, the land of the free, where we have religious freedom. And today, we get together with you and each other and worship you and learn from you. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to your truth in this morning. Let your Spirit lead us. Heal us and show us what it truly means to know each other by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Help us to leave behind the weight of the past and to step into the future and freedom you have prepared for us through Yeshua. Teach through me today as I yield to your leading. And if there's anything that I shouldn't say or that I end up saying that's not from you, Lord, let it just fall to the ground and the people forget it. But every true word that is yours, every revelation from Holy Spirit today, let it penetrate the spirits of the listeners today, that they will be able to partner with you, God, that they will be able to know each other by your Holy Spirit, because your Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Amen. Well, you know, sometimes people want to know your story, not because they care, but because they're looking for something to use against you. They're looking for a weapon. I know what it's like to have a past, and I've learned that there's wisdom in not sharing every detail with everyone. If you really want to know my story, you can learn the heart of it in my book, I Have a Past Too, which is available on Amazon.com, as well as my website, lotsofloveministries.com. But today, I want to talk about something bigger than my personal history. I want to talk about what it means to be free from the weight of the past and how we can truly know each other by the Spirit, the way Scripture teaches. My motto is simple. The past is in the past. The future is now. I first heard this from Prophet Kim Clement, and it settled deep in my spirit. It becomes the lens through which I see my own life and the way I approach everyone I meet. And it's not our job to cause people to walk in shame because they made bad choices or mistakes in the past. We all have a history, and we all have scars. But our past isn't supposed to hold us hostage. Our future in Yeshua is waiting right now. My prayer is that by the end of this message, you'll be able to let go of what's behind you, see yourself and others through the eyes of the Spirit, and step boldly into the future Yeshua has for you. Amen? The Bible frees us from the past. One of the most beautiful promises in Scripture is that our past does not have the final say over our lives. The world, and sometimes even well-meaning believers, will try to label us by our history, our mistakes, or our family background. But Yeshua calls us by our future, not our failures. The Bible is full of people with complicated stories. Some of the greatest men and women of faith come from brokenness, made terrible choices, or carried wounds from their families. You can study some of the choices and consequences of a few of these Bible celebrities in my book, Choices, also available on Amazon and my website. Yet time and again, the Creator steps into those stories and offers something new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." This is from the Tree of Life version. That's not just a poetic idea. That's a spiritual reality. When we come to Yeshua, He doesn't just forgive us. He gives us a brand new identity. Isaiah 43:18-19 tells us, "Do not call to mind the former things or consider things of the past. Behold, I'm about to do something new." The prophet isn't saying our past never happened. He's saying we don't have to live there anymore. Only thing we need to do is to trust in the Lord. The Holy One is always doing something new, if we're willing to receive it. Paul writes in Philippians 3:13-14, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Messiah Yeshua. Notice, Paul doesn't say he pretends his past didn't exist. He simply refuses to let it define his direction. If you're here today and your story feels too messy, or you've let your past mistakes or your family's failures shape the way you see yourself, take heart. Take heart, dear one. There is hope. In Yeshua, the past is truly in the past. The future is now. He specializes in making all things new. So if the Creator doesn't define us by our past, why do we so often define each other that way? It's easy to slip into the habit of sizing people up by what we know or what we think we know about their background, their parents, or their history. But that's not how Yeshua calls us to relate. Scripture challenges us to see each other differently. In 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul writes, "So from now on, we do not look at anyone from a worldly viewpoint." Another translation says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." That means we're not supposed to judge people based on their outward circumstances, their family, or their past choices. We're called to know each other by the Spirit. When we dig into someone's past, especially when trust hasn't been earned or the Spirit hasn't led that conversation, we risk doing real harm. Sometimes those questions are less about caring and more about curiosity or even control. Yeshua never went around interrogating people about their backgrounds to expose them or disqualify them. He saw the heart. He called people to step into their true identity. And that's what we are called to do. See each other by the Spirit. Know them by the Spirit that was in them. Do they have Holy Spirit in them? Then call them into their true identity. Encourage them to walk in their now and their future. Don't worry about their past. The past is irrelevant. James 2:1-4 warns us not to show favoritism or judge by outward things. When we do that, we miss out on what God is doing in someone's life right now. And in John 8, when the woman caught in adultery was thrown before Yeshua, He didn't ask her to recount every mistake or defend her past. He didn't ask her about daddy issues either. Who was your daddy? Why you feel like you got to do adultery? He didn't try to do therapy or psychology on her. Oh, what issues led you into this sin? Who cares? That's not the point. He saw her. He protected her from condemnation. And He called her to a new future. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more," He told her. He didn't tell her she had to go through the 5-step program of deliverance and healing or a 12-step program of this or that. He didn't tell her that she had to prove herself worthy of forgiveness or trust. arms are meddling. Leaders, listen carefully. Everyone has a past. Everyone makes mistakes. We all make bad choices. We don't need to know about people's bad choices. We don't need to know who their daddy was and if they have daddy issues or mother issues or something. If God wants to bring healing in those areas, this will come out in the relationship as you build relationship. But it's easy to forget. People open up when trust is present and when the Spirit leads, not when they're forced or interrogated. If we want to build true community, the kind that heals, restores, and lifts up, we have to leave the digging to the Holy Spirit, not our own curiosity. We must see each other through the eyes of grace, always looking for what God is doing now, not just what's happened before. Let me share a moment that changed how I understand what it means to know one another by the Spirit. Years ago, I was visiting a church in Knoxville for the first time. I didn't know anyone there, and no one knew me. During the service, the pastor paused and said, "Someone here has a song to share. The Spirit is prompting you." I felt that nudge from Holy Spirit, but I started arguing in my mind. This was my first day. They don't know me. It's not proper protocol. You don't just get up and sing a song the first day you enter a church. They got to get to know you for a while before you do something like that. But the pastor just waited. He said, "I'm not going to move on until that person gets up here and sings." 5 minutes went by, maybe more. No one else volunteered. Finally, I got up the courage to say, "I think it might be me." The pastor looked at me and said, "I know it's you. Get up here and sing." So I did, still nervous, still wondering if I was doing the right thing. But after the service, I went up to him and asked how he knew. He told me something I'll never forget. "I don't need to know you personally, because I know Holy Spirit personally. I could discern that you are of the same Spirit. If Holy Spirit says you can sing, then you can sing. I trust Him. I don't need to know your past, your reputation, or your story. I just need to know that we share the same Spirit, that we're both born again and filled with the Holy Spirit." Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That was life-changing for me. That encounter showed me what real spiritual discernment looks like. He didn't dig into my background or demand my credentials. He trusted the leading of Holy Spirit. And that's how we're called to know one another. Not by history, but by the Spirit within us. That's what creates true unity and freedom in the body. And that's how we keep from wounding each other with suspicion or judgment. When we focus on a person's past or dig into their family history, before we know them by the Spirit, we run the risk of doing real, real harm, even if we think our intentions are good. Scripture's clear. Judgment, criticism, and suspicion don't bring life and healing. They build walls, breed insecurity, and can even push people further from the hope Yeshua offers. Many leaders in the church today say, "I'm just protecting the flock." Well, I know that you have good motives, but listen, know them by the Spirit. That pastor in Knoxville, he wasn't avoiding his responsibilities to protect those under his care. He trusted Holy Spirit. And if Holy Spirit knows me, then that's all he needs to know. He knows Holy Spirit's not going to cause harm to the people. Holy Spirit wants to raise us up. Holy Spirit wants us to grow and mature and bear fruit. And if Holy Spirit tells you to let a person do something, even if you personally don't know them, do you trust Holy Spirit enough to say, Yeah, get up here and sing. Get up here and preach. Give that prophetic word. You pray for this person over here. I know it's your first day in my church, but the Holy Spirit, who I know, I can sense he's in you, and he's telling me to let you do this. Can you do that? What are you afraid of? That Holy Spirit doesn't really know them? But Holy Spirit hasn't forgiven them? Are you discerning something? Maybe it's you. Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Do a heart check. Check yourself. If you are operating according to the Holy Spirit and you know the Holy Spirit, he's not going to do you or anyone else harm. Holy Spirit is only good for us. So set aside your fears and concerns. Allow people to do what they are capable of doing if the Holy Spirit tells you. We sang this song in worship. Do we really believe the words? We're talking about who God is. He's our King. He's God. He's our safe refuge. We have nothing to fear. Do we have nothing to fear? Listen to these words. He's our safe refuge. We have nothing to fear. If we really truly have nothing to fear, then why are we afraid to let that person who just walked in those doors the first time operate in anointing of the Holy Spirit? Leaders, if you truly are of the same Spirit, and they're of the Holy Spirit, and you're of the Holy Spirit, and you love Holy Spirit, and trust Holy Spirit, just like that pastor in Tennessee, you will have no problem allowing the Holy Spirit to interrupt your agenda to allow that person to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the gifting of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can operate anytime, anywhere, through anyone he chooses if you let him. Why aren't you letting him? Is it that you don't have the discernment? That you can't discern what spirit of the you're of? Or maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're not of the same spirit. Uh-oh. Heart check. Okay. If you truly are of the same spirit and you're both of the Holy Spirit, you should not be afraid to let them operate. Is your agenda so important that you can't let someone sing a song or speak a word in your church because it's their first day and you personally don't know them and their whole past? Past is the past. The future is now. And just maybe that future is revival breaking out in your church because that person sings a song that touches the people in the congregation, and everybody falls on their face and repents and starts getting healed and delivered. And the Holy Spirit breaks out in a move that touches not only your church, but your whole community. Are you going to be too afraid to let that person sing that song? How do you know that word of knowledge or that prophetic word will not cause revival to break out in your church, in your community? That people won't get healed, delivered, and set free. Because someone you don't know walked in according to the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring a word that would break revival forth in your church and your community. But because you didn't know them and it's not protocol that you got to let them sit in your congregation for 6 months or a year and dig into their past and know all their history and who are they and all make them take all these tests and classes or whatever, because you have not discerned. Oh, people, it's about discernment. We must discern one another by the Spirit. Yes. Oh, my goodness. We're singing this song during worship. You're our King. You're our safe refuge. There is no fear. But those words, do we really believe them? Are they really truly true for us? Is God truly your safe refuge? Is the Holy Spirit truly your teacher, your guide, your healer, your comforter, your everything? Are you walking in a high level of discernment? And as a leader, you should be walking in such a high level of discernment that you know by the Spirit everyone who walks through that door. But today, so many churches are letting just anyone in. In the beginning, the early church, they met from house to house, and everyone came with a word, a psalm, testimony, and everyone shared. Well, I know that the church is kind of big today, and a lot of them are even thousands of people strong, and everybody's not going to be able to share because there's just no time for that many people to share. Understand that. But God may send a handful of people into your church, and it may be their first day in your church to share, to sing, to have a testimony, because it will help others in your body. And if we're not walking in that high level of discernment, knowing one another by the Spirit, we're not going to allow it. If we're too worried about protocol and agenda, we're not going to allow it. We're going to stifle the Holy Spirit's move because we are truly actually walking in fear. And then we're letting people in the church today that we don't know, witches. And maybe you are realizing they're a witch. But why are you letting them in your church? What are they there for? If you're letting witches come in your church so they can curse you and stir up trouble in the church, that's not wise. Because, oh, well, they just might hear the truth and get converted. No, you don't allow people who are the enemy to come in to your camp. If you're fighting a war, you don't have the enemy in your camp. Come on. That's unwise. You want to talk about wisdom, protecting the flock, protected from the witches, protected from those who come in to curse your people. Hello? Don't try to protect your flock from people who are operating in the Holy Spirit, because that's backwards. You let the witches in and let them talk to people and stuff and interact with the people and everything. But you won't let someone who's of the Holy Spirit come in and speak. Oh, no, we got to check you out first. How about you check people at the door and find out what spirit they are before you let them in the doors? Discernment. Discernment. Let's walk in discernment, discerning one another by the Spirit. Amen? Now, I'm not saying let every person who comes into your church do stuff on the first day, because it's about what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. People come in and say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I have a word for you. And they're not full of the Holy Spirit. They're agents of the devil. And they're going to prophesy things that will bring harm. It's about discerning what spirit they are of. Are they truly of the Holy Spirit, or are they of a different spirit? That's the determining factor. It's about discernment. So, leaders, we must grow in discernment. Amen? Even if we think our intentions are good, if we try to dig into a person's past, ask them questions about their daddy and all that, we could harm that person and breed mistrust in that person, make them feel unsafe in your place, and then they'll leave. That's not what we want to do. Yeshua himself warned us about this in Matthew 7, 1 through 2. He says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. That's not just about being polite. That's a warning about the spiritual reality we create when we become more interested in someone's track record than in the work of the Spirit in their life. And you know, it can go the other way. Somebody may have a so-called good track record, according to other people. But is there true discernment? People could have charisma. Charismatic leaders can get up there and preach the most wonderful message. But it's from the wrong motive, from the wrong spirit. Just because someone's gifted doesn't mean they're of the Holy Spirit. There's many gifted singers out there. They have beautiful voices. They can hit all those notes. But they've yielded their gift to the enemy. They're of the wrong spirit. They want to create falling for themselves. They want people to see them. They get prideful, greedy, arrogant, because they're from the wrong spirit. And so they're just out there trying to entertain. So many worship leaders in the church in this day and age are operating in a spirit of entertainment. Oh, they may be gifted. I'm not saying they're not gifted. That's what makes it so entertaining sometimes, because it is entertaining. They're good. They know how to touch the people's hearts. They know how to pick and sing just the right songs and put the lighting and the smoke and all the stuff in just the right way to bring the people into a certain place. But they themselves are operating from a spirit of entertainment. And there's so many people out there with titles who have become entitled. So just because they got a good track record of drawing crowds or creating a good worship atmosphere, that's not what it counts. Of the right spirit. Are they? Check it out. Discern. Romans 8:1 reminds us, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. If Yeshua doesn't condemn, what right do we have to? No, there's no condemnation. When we refuse to let someone's past define them, we become partners with the Spirit in the work of restoration. Maybe, just maybe, God sent them to your church to be healed from rejection. We don't get to be gatekeepers who decide who's worthy. Everyone is worthy of another chance. If Holy Spirit says they can sing, let them sing. Holy Spirit says they can preach, let them preach. It has to be Holy Spirit. And make sure that you're not trying to be a gatekeeper deciding who's worthy or not. That's not your job. Yes, you have to protect the sheep. But do it through discernment. Discerning what spirit each person is coming from. Even people who have been in your church for many years and serve, are you discerning the spirit they're from? Or are you just saying, well, they've been here for 20 years and they're always doing things for the church and they're nice. And so really they're not of the right spirit. They got pride or greed or a spirit of entertainment. And you're not looking at that. You're not discerning that because they've been there so long. It's time to exercise true discernment in the church. And if someone has the Holy Spirit, that's all that matters. What they've done in the past, good or bad, doesn't matter. What spirit are they of today? We need to do heart checks. And today, I call you to do a heart check on yourself. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. There's a time to listen and support, but there's also a time to cover, to protect, and to believe the best about each other. If we're always digging up old dirt, we're not helping anyone grow. We're just keeping wounds open. And that goes for ourselves, too. If we dig into our own past and keep reminding ourselves of all of our past mistakes, and digging up that old dirt on ourselves, then we're not going to grow. We're not going to help ourselves grow. We're not going to advance. Past is in the past. The future is now. We must do that for ourselves and for others. Love yourself. This is Lots of Love Ministries, living out the scriptures of love. And one of those scriptures says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you truly love yourself? Are you discerning yourself? It says if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. So real grace means giving people room to change, even ourselves. We have to change. We have to grow. Repent and move on. Move forward. Let other people repent and move forward. It means letting the Spirit do His work, and sometimes quietly, often over time, without us demanding explanations or apologies for every mistake or family secret. When we lead with grace, we make space for healing, for openness, and for the kind of community that actually reflects the heart of Yeshua. Let's heal ourselves. There's a saying, hurt people hurt people. So let's be the kind of leaders that are ourselves healed, walking in our future, forgetting our past, and walking in discernment to find others that even if they have issues they're dealing with right now, they can still be full of the Holy Spirit. They're born again full of the Holy Spirit. You know, they're growing. Don't hold them back because they're not there yet. Are you really, truly there? There's a verse that just came to my mind. To be ready to correct all disobedience when your obedience is full. Is your obedience full? Because I think if your obedience is full, then you would discern people by the Spirit. You will show grace and mercy to those who are struggling, but still are gifted and called. You will help them overcome while allowing them to do what God has called them to do. Because no one is perfect yet, not even you. Even if your obedience is full, you're still not perfect. Because we do make mistakes every day. We fail to do things we should do. We do things that we shouldn't have. We make bad choices. All the time we're making bad choices. All we can do is repent and move forward. So how do we actually walk this out? How do we stop letting the past or someone else's past have the final word? For me, it comes down to living out the motto that first stirred in my spirit. The past is in the past. The future is now. This isn't just a catchy phrase. It's a way of seeing myself and others through the eyes of hope and redemption. It means I refuse to be defined by what happened to me or by the mistakes I've made. And I refuse to define anyone else that way either. This is the invitation for us all to be a people who live in the now with God. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I am doing something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? If we're always looking backward at old wounds, old stories, old failures, we'll miss the new thing Yeshua is doing right now in front of us. Every day we have a choice. Will we be people who hold on to the past, who define ourselves and others by what's already happened? Or will we be people of the future? People who believe that God's mercy is new every morning, that His Spirit is at work right now, and that the path ahead is brighter than anything behind us. This is how healing happens. This is how trust is built. This is how a true spiritual family is formed. When we let go of the need to investigate, to judge, to categorize, and instead learn to recognize the spirit in each other, we create space for freedom and growth. We become a community where everyone has permission to step in the future God has prepared, no matter where they've come from. Let's be those people. Let's be the ones who see each other by the Spirit, who protect trust, and who believe the best is yet to come. The past is in the past. The future is now. So maybe you've carried shame and regret from your past. Or maybe you've been on the receiving end of questions and judgments that cut deep. Maybe you've even found yourself sizing someone else up by their history, not by the Spirit. Wherever you are on that journey, there's good news. You don't have to stay there. Yeshua invites every one of us to live free from the weight of yesterday. He calls us to know ourselves and each other, not by what's behind, but by what he's doing now. If you're ready to let go of the past and step into the new, he's ready to meet you right where you are. If you want to hear more of my story, or you need resources for your own healing, hop over to Amazon or lotsoflovministries.com and get a copy of my book. I have a past too. But know this, your story isn't over, and neither is mine. In Yeshua, the past is in the past, and the future is now. Remember that. Let's pray. Yeshua, thank you for your mercy that makes all things new. Thank you for seeing us not as the world sees, but as your beloved children, filled with purpose and promise. Help us to see ourselves and each other by your Spirit and not by the flesh. Where there's been hurt, bring healing. Where there's been judgment, let there be grace. Where there's been shame, let your love bring freedom. Give us the courage to release the past and embrace the future you have prepared for us in Yeshua. Knit us together as a community who truly knows one another by your Spirit. May we walk in your light and reflect your love today and always. In your name, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Now, as you go out and practice knowing one another by the Spirit this week, forgetting your past and living in your future, which is now, may there be shalom in your home.